This question, is God stirring your nest? I think that was a positive response. Now, having had extra time to read and study this week, some of it not of my own desire, that is, to be sitting home reading and studying instead of being at a prayer meeting a few times, I came across some articles and messages about exceptional ministers that did great works for God and brought in great numbers of converts and ministered in the gifts and great power. And if you carefully study the lives of these people, you will find that they changed the course of nations and have been the catalyst for great moves of God. If you study, you can begin to discover the source of their power. Anybody from John Lake to Oral Roberts to Heidi Baker, there's many, many, many great men and women of God. You'll find that preparation to be entrusted with leading these great movements follows a path that goes beyond the experience of the average believer. Say, I don't plan to be average. Oral Roberts had a message called, Miracle Days Are Here Again. And I was only a teenager in high school when his name became known around the nation. There are people who believe in miracles, but Oral Roberts' word was to establish that the days of miracles have returned. Many people have been willing to look back at those days and be satisfied to see those as the glory days and yesterday and be satisfied. But why? When we're in greater need of miracles than any generation who ever lived. During the time of the charismatic movement, there came a renewed interest in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, especially healing, and we reveled in this newfound hope that we could actually have what the disciples had in the book of Acts. And I taught this in many churches and in people's homes before Shekinah even came into being. And as we begun this work, God blessed us, and through a series of miracles, we built a place where the Holy Spirit could manifest His power according to His will. That was a fresh new idea for churches. I'm just simply saying it hadn't been emphasized. And as we began this work, God blessed. And we've seen God do many wonderful things, but not nearly as much as we're going to see, because the best is yet to come. There's going to be a new day of tapping into the power of bringing deliverance and healing, this thing the Lord made live to me, as He said, this year, in this year, believe me, this year, that people are going to have deliverance on a new level, and having had deliverance for themselves, they're going to be released to deliver others from the things they've been delivered from. Because we've learned enough that we can, and because we've experienced enough that we have to, and because we now know enough that we understand we need to. We've yearned to see His power of miracles, and now we need them so much that He's going to open up His power. And there'll be a people who are willing to get through, to go through with God, so that He can raise them up in the way that He works to prepare men to minister in power. We've asked, why can't we have miracles like that now? And He's showing us that we can, but we have to do it His way. You can't snatch miracles out of God's hands, but you can make yourself available to be a conduit that they can flow through. You know, it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. And afterwards, He came out with power to heal the sick and do miracles. God has a way that He works, and it's always the same with everybody. It's the same with all the healing ministers that really have power. And it has been all down through the years. And you can't circumvent that. There's no way around it. Satan suggested it to Jesus on the cross. You don't have to go through this wilderness. You don't have to do all this fasting. You don't have to You don't have to face the things you think you're going to face. Just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Now, there are people that are in false ministry. It's in their false prophets. And they go away. Some are ministering in the flesh and in a soulish realm, and have tapped into something that is not the Holy Spirit. Don't sell out to any of that. God shows us what His way is. In Deuteronomy 32:10, He says, verse 11, as an eagle stirs up her nest, fluttering over her young, spreading abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. You know, if we let God do it His way, you won't have a strange God with you. I don't want to minister with a strange God. I don't want mixture. I don't want questionable things. I don't want the kind of ministry that men can make somebody wonderful out of me while God doesn't get the glory. That's a strange God. God's way is like the way of the eagle. Let me tell you about that way. The eaglet is totally happy in his nest that his mother has made for him by plucking out her own down and that of birds that she's preyed upon, and makes a soft bed on a platform of thorns. She brings home the kill each day, and all the eaglet has to do is open its mouth and eat. That is, come to church on Sunday. Not one bit more. The eaglet doesn't have to figure out anything. He just opens his mouth and eats, and goes to another conference and eats, and turns on the TV and eats. And he's so blooming fat now, he can't get out the door to minister. At night, the mother eagle snuggles with her big warm body, and the mother's warm feathers are all over the eaglet, keeping them from any form of attack. You know, I don't want anything bad to happen to me. That's why I try to say stay saved. Because I know if I'm a good Christian, nothing bad or difficult will ever happen to me. Those of you on tape understand that our audience knows better than that. The next morning, Mother Eagle is off again, and she's out to get the prey and to bring it out again. And what she does is that she's feeding and she's caring, and the eaglet just thinks life couldn't be any better. This happens with every new believer. He's so happy to know that God answers his prayers. He didn't even have to pray hard. He's also got mixture in his life that he likes. And God has mercy and shows him his love anyway, and this is kind of nice. It's called having your cake and eating it too for a little while. He's thrilled, he's excited, everything's wonderful. To the new believer, it seems the Christian life is perfect. He might become very sure of himself and start getting cocky and doesn't even understand why other mature Christians are experiencing difficulty they must not know as much as he knows. I remember my eaglet days. There was so much favor, there were so many doors open. I realized God would answer my prayers and that he loved me. The first person who ever fell under the power when I prayed for him, the devil said, "You killed him." And the Lord immediately showed me that it was his power and his glory, and I thought it was wonderful. I'd never seen anything like that before. It was new, it's a brand new world. It was thrilling and exciting, and I was so glad that it would be mine forever. One day the mother eagle comes home, only this time things are different. She didn't bring the kill, and not only that, she's now catching a wave of air over the nest with those majestic wings spread out, as Deuteronomy tells us. It says that she hovers over the nest, and as the eaglets begin to look up, they can see their mother hovering and riding the air current with such power and majesty, such sovereignty in the air, and saying, "One of these days, I'm going to be like that." baby eaglet would be amazed at the power of his mother's wings, but he has no idea what's coming next. And your Bible says this is the way of God, to make eagles out of eaglets. After soaring and hovering, the mother eaglet comes back to the nest and does something she's never done before. She begins to tear chunks of the nest off and throw them over the cliff, thousands of feet below. She begins to remove the fur and everything comfortable out of the nest. There's nothing left except a bed of thorns on which she built that furry soft pad to make eaglet comfortable. Why on earth would she take it away? Mama's lost her mind. The nest finally becomes so uncomfortable. And then she begins to take her beak and begins to push him out of the nest. All the eaglets are perplexed and shocked and wondering, Mother surely would not want us to be uncomfortable. Then the unthinkable happens. The mother eagle pushes the eaglet over the cliff. As he tumbles helplessly through thousands of feet, everything was so nice. It was so easy. But he's screaming, what's happening? All my prayers were answered. I'm praying now already. I thought it would be like this forever. I think Mom's trying to kill me. Yes. John 12, verse 24. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Now, we have just departed from scriptures like this and gone to short, uplifting sermons. Hey, this is going to be uplifting to you. It just happens to have a little bit of truth in it, too. How about some truth? We'll never become eagles without truth. Verily I say, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Do we want to bear fruit or not? We say we do. We cry about it, we yearn, and we also say, why can't it happen today like it happened in Oral Roberts' day? You know, Oral Roberts, he believed in living a holy life. He was from the Pentecostal Holiness denomination, and they taught that. And one day he was coming to the end, I believe it was a 29-day fast, water only. And at the end of that fast, he audibly heard the voice of God. This is in his book, The Call. And he heard the voice say, get up. Go get in the car. Drive to such and such address. And then he began to show him how to launch into his ministry. He lived in Enid, Oklahoma. A man there said to him after he had his first open meeting, Oral, what you have is too big for Enid, Oklahoma. In his first big tent meeting, it started with a bang. Someone actually shot at him. The bullet went about 2 feet above his head and went through the tent. It wasn't easy. He wasn't an ordinary man. His life was totally surrendered. He sought after God till he came to another place. He wanted to bear much fruit, and he was willing for the flesh to die. Verse 25, he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You know, the world's okay as long as you don't let it get on you and hook to you and press in on you and take authority over you and distract you. The scripture says that we are in the world, but not of it. I heard Catherine Kuhlman preach a sermon called The Day Catherine Kuhlman Died. I heard her. She said it was the day she made the choice to leave the man that she loved. He had divorced his wife to marry her. And the Lord said, You can have the ministry or him. It's your choice. And she said that day Catherine Kuhlman died. She chose the ministry. Catherine could have stayed in the nest like the eaglet. Could have if the mother had not pushed him out. If we choose to stay in the nest, we'll cripple ourselves by consistently being dependent on something besides the power of God and resources that He's put within us to live a life that is productive. We will always be leaning on things in the natural. Whether it's things, whether it's people, it's the things that prop us up to keep us going rather than having the power of God and being completely dependent on Him. We'll always be leaning on the natural. The mother eagle removed everything that could be a prop so that it became easier to leave the nest than to stay. It's like when I was in India the first time I went, and I was so sick I had two fears. One that I would die, the other one that I wouldn't die. We have to learn that to use God's power and release it in our lives, God will not allow us to stay edged up under His care in the nursery school. God wants us to grow up and become reproductive. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about flying scared. I love the message Heidi Baker had where she said, and it was a real encouragement to me because some things I've stepped out and done have been frightening. I felt afraid and I kind of felt it was not faith, perhaps. I didn't know. And she said, just do it afraid. Isn't that good? You think you're always going to feel like some great and mighty man or woman of God? If God's calling you to do it, just do it afraid. Don't let the devil know. If he comes around, just tell him I ain't scared. Now the eaglet is helplessly tumbling through space because the mother has pushed him over the edge. Thinking, next the lights are going to go out. Then all of a sudden, the eaglet hears the sound of a great wind, and mother eaglet soars and catches the eaglet on her back and begins to fly with the eaglet back up to the cliff again. Hallelujah, the eaglet says, I've been rescued. I'm glad Mom's changed her mind about this thing. About that time, Mama Eagle knocks the baby eaglet off the cliff again. And the process starts all over again. It's something like bonk, whoosh. Back up on the cliff again. After several falls, by the way, it's okay to fail, but make good of your failures. After several falls, the little eaglet begins to question what he's going through. I wonder if Mom is trying to teach me something. I'm sure she loves me. She's taken care of me for weeks and months, and I know she doesn't want to destroy me. Why would she? I know the thoughts he has toward me. Not to harm me, but to give me an expected end. God knows the end from the beginning. And we're anticipating that it will be a good end for the praise of His glory. When God is getting ready to take you to the next level, He makes you miserable on the one you're on. Even getting comfortable in the way you are now ministering is just another means of keeping control over your life. Well, this is what I can do and this is all I can do. He better not ask me to do any more. He will. He'll stretch you. He will stretch you. You better have a little rubber in you. He wants us to completely depend on Him. You know, it's a journey. You know, the Christian life is a journey. Some people are always trying to get there. But I'm telling you, it'll always be a journey, and the journey doesn't end. I talked to both my pastor, Judson Cornwall, and a revered teacher, Fuchsia Pickett, right to the very end of their lives. They were repenting. They were confessing. They were wanting things to be right. They had certain questions that we talked together about in the scripture. They didn't know everything. I didn't either. It's a journey. And we're on this journey. And unless we say no, it'll always be a journey. Because God is not the God of stagnation. That's why we call when God's doing something a movement. How many of you know we need to be moved? But we get so comfortable in whatever it is we're doing, and we don't want to do it differently. We don't want to do it. We don't want somebody to expect something different of us. We're just comfortable. But are we powerful? It's a journey that'll continue as long as we desire to become an eagle and filled with His power. Can you handle it if the transition is difficult? It is a part. Transitions is how you get from one place to another. Some people choose to stay where they are, and you can. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about how high do you want to fly? How much do you want to minister to others? How much of the power of God do you want to flow through you? We all admire the Oral Roberts. And we admire the Heidi Bakers. But don't think that power came automatically. And don't think God poured it on flesh. There was a lot of work that had to be done to the flesh before He could trust them with His glory. On the journey, it's like a bus ride. And at each stop, some people get on, some people get off. Did you know that? You can't take everybody with you everywhere you go. And you can't take every habit with you everywhere you go. You can't take every little thing you've always done before with you everywhere you go. It may not fit in the next level you're going to. Lord, did you notice how serious they got? I used to think there were things that I couldn't do without until I didn't have them. And here I am. Happier. You got to trust God. He'll give you things greater than you're trying to hang on to. You've got to let go of the thing in your hand to receive the next thing God wants to give you. We don't know that we need certain people and certain things sometimes until they're taken away from us. And then we say, I was leaning on them. I can't even be happy without them. I didn't feel right without them. New levels, new devils. This is something we need to learn. If we're going to the next level, there's some things we've got to leave behind. I'm talking forever. Now, I'm just talking to people that want to be eagles. If you like where you are, there are choices to be made. I think I'm talking to some people that want to do exploits in 2015. I really do. I want to see God move mightily in this church. And through our lives and in our homes. But see, the covetous or greedy or greed that we had on one level, now think with me, can destroy us on another level. I mean, you can hide your money from your husband or wife and get away with it on one level. And the next level, where there are new devils, they know exactly how to take you down the river, put you in a place where you can put your hand in the till, then you end up behind bars. That's why everybody doesn't dash out and do a lot of miracles after they're saved. God loves them too much. Hello, do you get that? The anger that seems to be a part of your nature and even your personality, it's just a nuisance now, something you have to repent of every now and then. But on another level, it'll open you to a demonic realm that'll flat destroy your life. As Eaglet is pondering these things, he begins to understand, Mama's trying to teach me something here. So about that time, Mama comes, he hears the whirring noise again. Whoosh, it's Mama! Have some of you got the place where you almost duck when you hear somebody say, God's going to start moving again? Yeah. Well, you can duck, but don't run. Stay there, and he'll lift you up. This time, when the mama eagle comes, the eaglet catches on. She's out in front of him, and she's, instead of saying, read my lips, she says, watch my wings. And he says, oh, wings. I have some. Listen, some of you guys have things you don't have any idea you have. Let the Lord show you that you can fly higher than you ever dreamed you could. This time the eaglet stretches out his little wings and does something like flying. Oops. Whoops. I see her. She's still in the neighborhood. God doesn't expect us to be great at flying at first. Just stretch out your wings and let the wind lift you up. Go ahead and fly scared. And don't cop out on your flying lessons. And don't bail out on the opportunity to become a soaring eagle. The church is full of them. Those who said, turkey, chicken. I like these other choices because it's comfortable. It's easy. I don't have to learn. I don't have to stretch. You see, I believe in the year ahead of us, the Lord will give us an opportunity to make some discoveries and some decisions. There's a wonderful scripture in Isaiah 40:31. I pray this every morning. It's a part of what I pray as a part of catching a healing, a complete one. It says in verse 31, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you know it, say it with me. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, the amazing thing is that the eagle's strength is self-renewable because of what's inside of him that God has put there, because of what he's allowed God to put there through all of the scared flying that he's done and the developing that has gone on through Mama Eagle that he responded to. Finally, he comes to the day that he is an eagle himself. You know, eagles love light and they love the sun. They say that if you're where an eagle is in the morning, that when he rises up and lifts his wings, he will look straight into the sun and you will hear a loud shriek and scream and cry as if he's saying, Hallelujah! Church, I believe it's time to become victorious. I think it's time to get out of the barnyard. I think it's time to quit flapping with the chickens. Lurking with the turkeys. And realize that God has offered us an opportunity to bring deliverance so that people can be released, and that includes yourself. You know that you've heard of the molting process of the eagle. It's the most amazing thing. I thought about this. You know, in this process, the eagle drops its feathers and It looks absolutely awful. Goes through a period of time, it doesn't want to eat, and its pride gets to him, and he says, wow, I look like this now, and I used to be great, and I used to command the skies, and now I'm like this, and I can't even fly right now. He didn't even care enough to try to kill the prey. And he begins to lose more and more strength. But in the molting process, there's something that happens to many eagles. As it begins to molt, and its beak actually begins to come off like it's scaling away and rotting away. I thought about this with Nebuchadnezzar. It was just the opposite. He went out in the field and grew long nails and long stringy hair and went backwards. But when the eagle is renewed, even though he's been through a season where he's lost a lot, he comes to this place, and when the scales begin to fall off the beak, amazingly, he begins to bang that beak against the rock. Bang, 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 poop. Mama's really gone crazy now. Until that eagle bangs his beak off and has a brand new one. And its feathers grow back. And its strength comes back. And it rises up again and begins to fly again. The molting season, when God's getting ready to build you into a strong eagle that cannot be taken down and discouraged and destroyed, you might not look so pretty. But when the eagle comes to the place where it is an eagle that commands the skies, you know, in the Old Testament, there's a scripture that says concerning the enemy, they are bread for us. And the eagle looks at the storm, which the lightning, the thunder, the wind, when the darkness gathers around the creeping creatures and those roaming the earth bark their way into their holes and hide beneath the rocks and run into the hiding places, and the birds retreat into their nests, but not the eagle. The eagle climbs to the rocky cliff, looks at the storm as an opportunity, stands in the midst of lightning and thunder, raises his wings and flies above the storm with its eyes set on the sun. That same sun where the eagle, when he was molting, went and subjected himself to until his health was renewed. He's neither frightened nor defeated by the storm, but he screams with delight in his victory. Last little story I'm going to tell you, Heidi Baker. I heard this past week. It tells about when they took a boat out to an island that had had very little evangelizing. And she said the morning that they went out, she said, my staff was half dead. And she said, I said to them, you're half dead. And she said, they said, we know it, Heidi. We need help. And no matter how spiritual you are, how long you've worked for the Lord, you're going to have some times when you feel like a mopey dope. Are you kidding? I'm the person who did that last month. I can hardly believe that the way I feel now. Everybody listen. You're going to have times where you feel discouraged. And you're going to have times where the enemy really tries to lay a heavy on you. A lot of things that happen in life will seem like it's just getting to be too much. And she said, you know what you really need? You really need to go out and give Jesus to some people. So they got in this big boat And they went over there, and as they were coming, oh, by the way, she said, and I piled my husband, Roland, into the boat. At this point, Roland didn't even know how to tie his shoes because he had cerebral malaria. And Roland was supposed to have died in 2 weeks until Mel Tari undertook for him and took him where some people prayed for him and ministered to him. And now he flies a plane and he's back in charge of the work just like he was before. He molted. I'm going to ask him when I go over there sometime to show me the tree where he did his beak banging. Beak banging. And so, as they were coming back home, think about it. You know, sometimes you say, well, you know, but God asked me to do things. They're just too hard. And I'm afraid to say I'll do anything for God. I'm afraid of what he'll ask me to do. He's not going to ask you anything that he's not going to give you grace to do, unless you do it willfully and just choose to do it yourself. And then that's up to you. Don't be afraid of God that he doesn't care about you. And he doesn't want to destroy you, and he doesn't want to hurt you. But he does want to grow you up. I thought about it this morning. I was watching Joan so beautifully make the bed. I love made beds. I haven't made one in a while since the enemy attacked me. But I was just thinking about, you know, when you have a child, some parents teach their children very early to clean up their room, make their bed, do the dishes, help serve the table, carry out the garbage, all these things. And there's some who just say, I'll just do it myself, it's easier. Well, hallelujah. Some of you, when you do things, every now and then it crosses my mind, I could have done that a lot quicker. I wouldn't have had to teach anything. I wouldn't have had to wait as long. I wouldn't have had to try to figure out what in the world was it they did. Did I tell them to do that? I wouldn't have had to go through anything like that. But you'd be a stunted runt. I want you to grow more than I want to have my own little preferences taken care of. And so I thought about it. If mothers that don't train their children, they grow up thinking the world's going to make the bed for them. It's called entitlement. The world's not going to make your bed. They're not going to do your dishes. They're not going to make you smart. And loving is the mama who trains the child. And happy is the eaglet that doesn't cop out on his flying lessons. There's no way to learn except to do some things you don't want to do. So Heidi Baker said the Lord told her to drag her husband with her everywhere she went. And he could get around. He just really didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what was going on. So that was, for that time, that was an added burden. Would you really want to go evangelize unevangelized people, get in a boat, cross the ocean, do all of that, and have the responsibility to take a person with you who really was out of his head? Everything's not easy. And everybody's not an eagle. But this is an eagle that took this boat and took this man and took this team. And she tells the story about how when she's coming back, then their boat sprang a leak. But the Lord sent someone to get them. He took care of every situation. You know, it is a choice that we have to make, really and truly. How much do we want to do for him? How high do we want to go? How badly do we want to reach people who are in pain and dying and lost? It will be a great discovery when we come to understand the reason that we don't have that power that we've seen in lives before, or that we can even see in lives today, but the reason the church in general doesn't have that power today is because the nest is so comfortable. And many people have said no to taking the next step. Did you know that I read that when John Lake was able to pray for people and worked in that plague in South Africa. And so many people were healed, and they put his hand under a microscope. If they would put that plague on his hand, there was enough power in his hand that it ate up the germ.
Amen. Praise God. Yes.
And I read the other day that it was Ebola.
Amen.
You know, there's a great answer for Ebola, but the world hasn't mostly discovered it. I'm looking for a day where Jesus is glorified by God's people discovering the power to really help people out of their misery. Oral Roberts changed a nation's mentality toward faith and healing. I'd love to leave a mark for having been here. I don't want to be famous, and I don't want to be rich. But I do want to be useful in the way God wants me to be used. I'm going to close with this. I want to tell you a dream that I had on Wednesday night. When I went home from the prayer meeting, I really didn't feel very well. I had a little problem with my back, and thank God came to the other side of it fairly quickly. Know better now which way to bend. In the future, it will be useful to me. Wednesday night, I had a dream, and I got up Thursday morning. I said to Joan, I think I might be healed because I had such a spiritual dream that night. I don't know how a back pain could have stayed through this dream. I think it was prophetic. I think it was spiritual. It was in color. I can remember every single detail of it. I don't have a lot of these kinds of dreams. I'm not like that. But when I have them and I know they're God, I want to give Him glory.
Amen.
I dreamed, and I'm going to say this real carefully so you'll hear what I'm saying. The dream was figurative and symbolic of what I believe God's going to do in the spiritual realm. I don't want a mansion because we can't even keep up what we've got without a lot of help from our friends. I am not a person who would dream of having a mansion. But this is what the dream was. Actually, I said, if you gave me the amount of room that I could keep up, it would be a half a room. A closet, maybe. With a bath, please. And so I don't even know why somebody would want a real big mansion, but I guess they've got means to take care of it. In the mansion, it was absolutely beautiful. It had marble floors, beautiful windows, tables with white tablecloths and green napkins all starched, beautiful china and silver. And as I got there, lunch was just being prepared and just being presented, actually. But I was told, when I was taken to the mansion, it had a lot of property around it. I was just amazed because I was told, this is yours and John's. And I've given you, and you have this territory. It's about a spiritual territory, church. It's not about mortar and bricks. Ours is paid for, and we're not interested in that area anymore. You have this territory. And I said to myself, well, I thought other people would have this kind of territory. I never expected to have anything like this. In the dream, I said. The mansion was so big that when you walked down the halls and you'd see this corridor, it was First Street and Second Avenue. And you went on a little further, and it was Psalm 1 and Psalm 48. So when you counted the numbers, then you started counting the Psalms. And I had hallways and rooms and territory, completely free from the enemy, absolutely full of light, victory and beauty. And they said, this is your territory. Now here's the best part of the dream. And this is a revelation. And it's just what I'm talking about. How we let the things that happen in our lives work in us to prepare us so God can entrust us with some things. And there they had the food so perfectly presented on china and silver, and they started putting the plates out. And I said, oh my, it's time to eat. The food is ready. I'm the lady of the house. And I've got to tell them how to eat and that it's okay to go ahead and to receive what is here. And I looked down at myself like this, and I looked at my clothes, and I said, but who am I? Are they going to believe me when I tell them I have the authority over all of this territory and I'm the one that can tell them, go ahead and help yourself to this? And I began to weep with both gratitude and humility. Church, I believe the same revelation that shows us we can be eagles is the same revelation that will show us we shouldn't have a sense that it has anything to do with us. You have got to know it's you. The things that I have ever been able to do since I've been in ministry, it's very clear looking back, it was all the Holy Spirit. And I just watched. I haven't always understood that I really have nothing to do with it except to be a channel. I believe, church, if we're willing to receive the scripture, if the seed falls in the ground and dies, that means nothing can come through the flesh. It has to come by the Spirit. And if the power of God is going to flow through you, it has to be by the Spirit of God. And as long as our flesh gets in the way, we will block what God wants to do. But if we will allow Him to take us the journey, the only journey that any of us can go, that we all must go, the scripture said, Paul said, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Understand that there's been some false teaching that there'll never be suffering. It's a part of it. Then tell Heidi Baker that. Tell Oral Roberts that. Tell John Lake that. Tell anybody who has ever had power to work in miracles. It's a discovery. How these people did these things, God will allow you to walk that pathway if you desire it. Let me stand together.